As we stand, let us pray. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us new life by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. Help us today, Lord Jesus, to delight in your victory and to share in your risen hope through Jesus Christ, because the resurrection changes everything. Amen. Well, the season of Easter is for me the best and most exciting time in the church's year, stretching from Easter Day and right through to Pentecost, and that is eight separate Sundays, if you count them up. Eight Sundays, remember the resurrection of Jesus, how Jesus is alive, how he came to his disciples, how he meets with us, his followers, and how he ascended to heaven, and we honour him for his ascension. And we look forward to the giving of the Spirit at Pentecost and to the receiving for ourselves that Jesus, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, is with us, alongside us, and within us. The most exciting and wonderful time of the whole season of the church's year, in my opinion and my own experience. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. And the gospel accounts, one of which we've heard this morning, shows that it took time for the first Christians to actually believe that Jesus was alive. It took time for them to work out what it meant. It didn't all come instantly. It took a long time for them actually to work it out in reality, in the fullness of what they worked out. It took time. And it's not surprising it took time, because the resurrection of Jesus turned their whole world view upside down. Everything was changed if it was true that Jesus had risen from the dead. It took them time to understand that and to comprehend it. What it meant was they had to believe that Jesus was totally different. He wasn't just a great teacher. They did believe that. He wasn't just a great teacher. He wasn't just a wonderful healer. He wasn't just an inspired leader. He was all those things. But the resurrection showed them there was something more. Jesus was something much more than that. And it took time to comprehend. Now, the story of Thomas, I think, illustrates how this happened in one person's life. Because on the first Easter evening, the disciples all gathered. Jesus appeared to them, as we've heard, but Thomas wasn't there. We don't know why Thomas wasn't there. He was missing. Perhaps he had something urgent to do and he was busy doing something else. But I rather think Thomas was missing because he was so disturbed by the whole business of Jesus' death, his crucifixion. He was so confused about all the stories that were going around about what had happened. Jesus had been seen by some people. He was confused. He wanted just time to be by himself, to be alone. And many people like that. When something really difficult happens, they want to be alone. And that, I think, was what was happening for Thomas. I think we can learn from this, because people want sometimes to be isolated. Rather than choose fellowship with other Christians, they want to be isolated, to be by themselves. It didn't work out for Thomas, because when they told him that Jesus had come and he had appeared to them, Thomas just could not take it on board. He could not believe it. He could not believe it, and he wouldn't believe it either. Because Thomas said, most dramatically, in the most sort of angry fashion, I think, that I won't believe unless I can actually see Jesus for myself, put my finger on his wounds, feel him and touch him. I will not believe. And we are like that sometimes, resistant totally to any belief. And Thomas was like that. He isolated himself from his fellow disciples. And then 1 week later, Jesus appeared in the upper room, same way, but Thomas was there with his disciples. And Jesus spoke to Thomas immediately. He addressed Thomas's doubts. He knew what Thomas had been thinking. He spoke straight to Thomas And he said, Thomas, reach your hand out. Touch me. Feel my wounds. I am alive. You can see. And that, I think, is very interesting. It shows us, in my opinion, that Jesus doesn't rebuke people who have doubts or uncertainties or questions. Jesus didn't rebuke Thomas in any way at all. But Jesus answered Thomas's questions. Put forth your hand and touch me, feel me, I am alive. And there's so much we can learn from this story, I think. Isolation doesn't work particularly well. It didn't work for Thomas. Facing up to your doubts did work. Thomas expressed his doubts, his questions, his disbelief, and it worked. He was open and honest about it. He acknowledged it. And Jesus recognized that and appeared to Thomas and said, yes, I am alive. You can see, you can touch me, you can feel me. And Thomas's response was immediately overwhelming. My Lord and my God. You can imagine, just in a moment, a total change of attitude and mindset. My Lord and my God. People have lots of questions to ask about the Christian faith. We need to encourage it, not to make it seem there's something wrong in asking questions. We need to recognize, encourage it. And that's what happened for Thomas. I noticed from your church publicity you have a group called Agnostics Anonymous. I went to a church yesterday, cycling back to Stamford-on-Thames. They have a group called Agnostics Anonymous. It's quite a nice name, isn't it? But it shows a church like that, and your church here, are trying to encourage people and help them if they're asking questions to try and think it through. Agnostics Anonymous. Other churches have alpha courses, which in a similar way, but they're more putting over the message as well, but they're encouraging people to ask questions. Any questions we welcome, they say. Asking questions is part of our journey to faith. We need to respond to people who ask questions. We need to help people ask questions. It is part of a journey of faith to help us to grow in our faith. And that's what happened in the story for Thomas. People are asking questions today. The Pope's life and his ministry and now his death and everything's happened. People are interested, they're asking questions, they're thinking about it. People today are perhaps thinking more of these deeper spiritual questions than for many, many years. There's been a recent survey which was announced this month, I think it was done by the Bible Society, among others, that said there are more younger people under 25 beginning to take part in the life of the church. May not go to Sunday services, but some of them will, but they're wanting to pursue the whole question of Christianity, what it means. They're thinking about the meaning of life, they're thinking about how things are not working out particularly well in this world today. Is there something more? People are asking questions. We need to recognize that and encourage it. And for Thomas, it worked because Jesus appeared, helped him to face up to, but answered his question by presenting himself to Thomas. And his response was, my Lord, my God. Now, there are many things you could say about what my Lord means, my God means. I'm not going to try that today. It means that God is the ruler of the whole world, all the nations of the world, all the rulers of the world. My God, said Thomas, as well as my Lord, which means my personal leader, and I will obey him and submit to him. It reminds us that at the heart of Christian discipleship is a personal friendship with Jesus, a personal relationship with Jesus. We can meet him one by one. Not always in the most dramatic way as happened for Thomas, but sometimes in a quiet, still way. The Lord meets us as we go on our own journey of faith, sometimes asking questions, sometimes being excited by what's happening in our lives. It doesn't happen to many people that it's so dramatic, but I have met people who can speak very clearly and strongly of how Jesus came to them and spoke to them. They heard his voice. It happens, but most of us are required to carry on steadily in our own Christian lives. just carrying on in the normal way of trying to serve God, trying to obey God, trying to be kind, compassionate, good, neighborly, trying to pray regularly for God's kingdom and for God's world, pray for people in distresses, all part of the normal journey of Christian experience and Christian life. We're all called to that. Some people have a dramatic experience, but other people have a steady, ongoing experience. And I've been struck recently by how St. Paul, at the end of his remarkable chapter about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, long, long chapter, mind-blowing in what he says, but what he finishes with are these particular words, if I can find them. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and steady in your work for the Lord, since you know that nothing you do in the Lord's service is ever wasted. Now just think of that. Nothing that we ever do in the Lord's service is wasted. It all counts, even if it seems very insignificant and not very important. Nothing is wasted. Just keep on steadily, says St. Paul, serving the Lord. And St. Paul says in Ephesians, when he's also talking about the resurrection, that the mighty power which raised Jesus from the dead is also working within us as well. Now just think of that, it's remarkable. The mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead is working in you and in me as we steadily go on serving the Lord. And so we come to communion this morning to receive the body and the blood of Christ, to receive that. He is living in us. His spirit is at work in us. The mighty power working in Jesus when he was raised from the dead is also working with us. And so we come to the Lord to receive from him this morning. Amen.